Our guest today reminds me that it's all about intuition. Trusting, using your intuition, that's a big part of what we're talking about today. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Gallagher, scaling coach, host of the weekly Scaling Up Business podcast. We're here every week with new stories, tips, ideas, gurus, experts, authors, everything to do with the world of scaling up and the leadership required to take yourself there. So tune in, find us every week. Also, the whole back catalog, everything and more that you might want to find in the world of scaling up at scalingcoach.com. You'll find a lot of more there. Our tools, our tips, our downloads, show notes, that kind of thing. You can subscribe there, find out about our latest workshops, that kind of thing. If you need to find a coach in your area, all that and more at scalingcoach.com. I'm joined now by Kim Woods. Kim is in the Boston area, and she is an intuitive strategist. So she works on business strategy with a heavy emphasis on the intuition. She's an MBA and spiritual consultant to a whole lot of folks. She'll tell you more about that. She's worked, she's a former business consultant to Oracle, and she's dealt with significant health issues when her son was born with some substantial stuff. She had to rejigger everything. She'll tell you more about that. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hey, Bill, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. So we're going to get into this work and how you do what you do and all of that. We'll tell it with the stories, of course. But let's start off with your story. Talk to us about how you get to this place, how you end up doing this work. Where did it begin and like all that?
Yeah. So like most people, it started off in business and corporate, and I was climbing the corporate ladder, loving every minute of it, or so I thought, and then had my first child and thought I was going to continue and things were going to remain the same. Why does that thought happen? We don't know, but it does. And he was born with significant health issues. And so it very much, you know, pushed me to a whole different place, whole different mindset, and really stretching to help him develop appropriately physically and emotionally and mentally. And what we did was we found Western practices weren't enough. We really needed to go into Eastern methods. And so we found the marriage of those things to be perfect. And he beautifully, I mean, it took a number of years, but he is now a junior in college and he's completely on the typical range for everything. The doctors had said he wouldn't be able to throw and catch a ball. He wouldn't be able to walk up the stairs naturally. He wouldn't have a normal social life. And that's when we, you know, all hands on deck, Bill, right? Like as a parent, you're like, this is unacceptable. Yeah. And with all the methods that we employed, he's now completely fine.
Yeah. So it's funny how, like, everything else fails away when it comes to a crisis with our kids, with our parents, like with our family member. It's like, okay, wait, time stops. Let's focus on them. But there's, as you will share with us, there's a tremendous amount of value in leveling up in that area. So what did you learn about yourself and
oh, everything, right? Like everything, right? So I learned that I was dissatisfied in what I was doing in the corporate world. I learned that I really didn't know, like, and trust myself and didn't follow my intuition. I learned that how important it was to do both of those things. I learned how valuable it was to blend these ancient, you know, wisdom techniques with these very practical application. And it's that perfect blending of the two that gives you the ability to not only know yourself better and accept yourself more, but it gives you clarity. It helps you make better decisions. It makes you a better leader. It helps with scaling business. So I took this life-changing event and I saw what it was doing for our personal life and for our sons. And I said, what if I brought this to the business world? You know, what if I did this work with my clients? Would we see the same results? And the answer is yes, over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Well, well done, useful, valuable. So let's talk about some of those. You have worked with a whole bunch of clients. You shared some stories with us as we got ready. Let's talk about some of those and using intuition and leaning into these things that are really ancient, right? Human things that we've known about ourselves. We've maybe developed fantastic iPhone apps or, you know, this or that. Like, we can fly airplanes faster than before. We can reuse our rockets today. That's all awesome. And it really is freaking awesome. But then there's like core things about what it is to be human that is not really new. So you shared one story in Getting Ready about a cosmetics business client. Talk about that one, for bring that to life for our listeners, viewers.
Yeah. So she's into direct sales. And so for the direct sales model, it's right in the name. It's all about sales. And yet when I looked into her, like what makes her tick and what her true life purpose was, it's all about leadership. And so I had a conversation with her about, do you want to be the best salesperson, or do you want to be the best leader? And we really needed to open her up to what the leadership aspect looked like, because it's about recruiting people and having them be on your team, and about having them recognize like more things about themselves and what their gifts are, and allowing them to be more than salespeople, because we are more than salespeople in business. And so she stepped into it. And I want to say, when we started working together, she would be fearful of speaking in front of about 100 people. The last time she spoke was about 2 months ago in front of people, it was 125,000. You know, she was doing everything through the sales lens, and now she's doing everything through the leadership lens. Her team is growing exponentially. She is just, you know, blowing the doors off of, you know, sales numbers everywhere, because people want to work with her and are choosing her team, not just for the high sales value, but also for that team camaraderie, that training, that professional development that they might not get in another direct sales operation.
So like in real terms, where did the shift from sales to leadership occur? What did that really look like?
Yeah. So for me, I am a leader. That's just what I do. So when I work with a client, I am always talking about leadership, and people have different styles for that. Some people like to lead from the front. Some people like to lead from the middle. Some people like to lead from the back. I'm an intuitive, right? So I'm going to talk a little intuitive woo here. Her soul wanted her to lead from the front. And so her soul was pushing her to do this, you know, so she already had that inkling and that yearning. She just didn't know how to make it work. And so we just went into all the different tasks that she's responsible for in her business. And I just literally looked through the leadership lens, which she had never done before. She never thought about quote unquote professional development. She had never thought about the camaraderie of the team. She had never thought about the longevity of looking at investing in the person versus investing in the process or investing in the sale. So it didn't take that long, honestly, because she was hungry for it.
So I hear a change in perspective, looking longer and looking wider at our impact and our work. But was there a particular conversation or an exercise where you said her soul wanted that? How do you know that? How did she know that?
Well, okay, so I am wildly intuitive. I literally walk into the stars the minute that you're born, and I know all the things that your soul wants to tell you. So I channel the voice of your soul. There's that, Bill.
So did you tell her that she wanted to lead from the front, and she said, oh, yes, or?
Oh, no, there's massive resistance. Here's the thing. When you are walking your true life purpose, when your soul comes to the fore and says, okay, Jane, that's not her name, but okay, Jane, this is what you want to be doing, you're petrified. You are terrified. You want to do anything but that. And so part of what we do, our work, is to give you the support that you need, and to provide the not only the healing and the revealing about that, but also the brass tacks of what it would take to look like. So our conversations ranged from, I know you don't want to do this. I know you're a very reluctant leader. We're going to do some healing around that. But we're also I'm going to tell you what leadership is really all about and what your signature is. That helps take that breath and say, oh, you're not just going to have me read a leadership book, or, you know, you're not just going to give me like tips that don't actually apply to me and me alone. You're going to be with me in this and help me support this. And so it wasn't just one conversation. It was a lot of conversations, and it was training, and it was, you know, I've been in her group. And I've done some things around leadership with all of them. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, you have to want to say yes, you know, say that different perspective and want to own it. And when you do, the results are amazing.
And how did she practice that? How did she bring that to life so that she went from being comfortable barely with 100 people to 125,000?
Oh, we practiced, right? So I had her do speaking things with me. I had her do them in some of my groups. I had them we kind of stepped up to it. She had some speaking experience, so her curve was a lot faster. You know, her growth was a lot faster. But what she would typically do is go in and kind of show up and just do it. I made her know what her notes were. I made her go through what exactly what she was teaching people and helping them with, and slow down a little bit because she'd want to rush through it. Because think about it, she didn't really have to show up if she rushed through it. So, oh yeah, we had a whole, I think we had a whole round. It was an hour and a half. I made her do it. It was a 5-minute speech. I made her do it however long that was. How many times? 12 times? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really useful to notice. We just finished a multi-month cadre or cohort of folks going through our leadership program.
Oh, okay.
Actually. And I think the thing that they notice is that they developed in areas where they already felt strong. Mm-hmm. And in some areas, they were like, wow, there's a whole mountain more to work. But the thing that I heard from them as we did our wrap-up class was that it was sustained effort over time. Multiple exercises, multiple practices. It wasn't I had an insight and then I'm done.
And actually, you're right, because how long lasting is that going to be, Bill, right? Like, you have an insight, flash in the pan, and then you go execute it. Maybe that's something you want to incorporate and that could be part of your tool and your tool belt. But if it's something big like leadership, you're right. You're going to be wanting to look at that through many steps and have an integration of it and have that assimilation of it, or else you don't own it yourself. It's a nice tool from Bill.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's share another one of your client stories. You had a book publishing client you talked about. Tell us about that. Bring that to life for the listeners.
Yeah. So very successful company. And she came to me because she did want to have more than business coaching. You know, she said, I want to be able to open up to myself, make sure that I'm satisfied, make sure that my definition of success is really my own and not just something that I've perceived out there in the world. So we definitely, again, I went through the lens of here's what your soul is here to do. This is what your heart yearns for. And it was very aligned. I'll be honest with you. It was very aligned. She loves reading. She loves books. Like, this is her passion. And yet when I looked at the business itself, because that's the other thing, I'm a business strategist. I looked at the business and it was very deep, but narrow. And I said, okay, if you want to expand and go enterprise wide, or if you want to make impact in the industry, we want to take your business and we want to, you know, make it an enterprise. We want to look at different components of it. So we turned the business on its side. And when we looked at it through a different lens, and again, you're right, Bill, the common theme is a different perspective, right? So she looked at it that way and we started putting together offerings that the reality is she was already doing it, but she was packing it in like on top of like very vertically stacked. And we took them and we turned them horizontally. And we went out to different people that she's already worked with. And we asked, you know, questions about, is this something you're interested in? If we were to package it this way, would it be something you want to do? Hella yes, we heard all over the place. But then on the tail of that, she's actually wildly collaborative and quite frankly, was almost hiding behind the product. And so I said, no, you have way too many gifts here to be doing that. So why don't you look at collaborations and group work and going out to the marketplace that way? And she started doing that. She's getting rave reviews on it. And she'll be able to scale her business a lot easier with this model than the former one.
Yeah, I can hear that. So what kinds of partners did she connect with? And how did that shift in the thing? What does it look like these days?
Yeah. So for her, so she didn't do the whole marketing piece. So we had her, you know, coordinate with some marketing folks. She doesn't do the PR piece. She doesn't want to do the PR piece. So we have her collaborating with some of those folks. The other thing is I've pushed her to recognize that she can be a player in different places in the publishing world because it's really broken right now. And so there's gaps to be filled. And she is a natural collaborator. So she knows a lot. I'm not going to name the people that she knows, but she knows names that are very familiar to all of you. And so I had her step into her role a little bit differently than I'm just the book publisher. No. I am the marketplace analyzer. I am the group coordinator. I am able to, you know, bring things into this world that are different than what you were thinking before. And that put her on a different level with them.
Really great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that recognizing your superpower and kind of owning it is a useful thing to do. We probably have more than one. We use the Gallup strengths assessment with people.
I love that.
Yep. Clifton. But that's a beginning of something. And there's a flavor or combination of things that we don't always recognize. And then, of course, that only indicates a thematic direction for something. You've got to actually develop those into true strengths, right? That you have
exactly
access to.
Yeah, and we love working with us. We don't use the Gallup strength model. I love it. It's really great. When somebody's working a small group container with us, quite frankly, we don't need to, because we have our intuition and we can tell you and help you open that up for yourself. But you're right. I always say to my clients, it doesn't matter that I know, it matters that you know. You know, so we do use some assessments sometimes because it helps people to own it for themselves. If I sit there, Bill, and I say to you, oh, you're an amazing, you know, leader, right? And you know that about yourself, that's one thing. If I were to say to you, oh, you're an amazing intuitive and you don't know about that, you know, you might even like look back and like kind of look at me askance and say, I'm not sure if that's true. Right. Yeah. And so then our job is to help you bring that forward in yourself and demonstrate to you through exercise and ritual and discovery methods and business practices on how that is true for you and what it can look like, not only in the marketplace. A lot of times there's things in your life that you want to set up differently.
Yeah. So the let's distinguish and talk about intuition for a minute. Right. What does intuition mean for you?
Intuition means that you know something and you don't know how you know it. There's no rationale. You didn't read it somewhere. You know, it isn't something that you've heard before. It's beyond that. So it's esoteric. It's wispy. It whispers at first. Most of us, I actually believe that all of us are very intuitive. It's just a muscle that some of us have practiced and some of us haven't. It's like working out. You know, yeah. The intuition, you do need to create some silence, and it does wrangle with the mind. It's vying for attention. And a lot of times we were very young when someone may have said to us, oh, you're imagining things, or that's not real. And no one was doing anything wrong. It just they couldn't see it, so they didn't quite believe it. So we've grown up, most of us have shutting down our intuition. So the intuition doesn't have any space. You know, your mind's always going, you're reading things, you're looking at things, you know, technology and what have you, conversation even. Your intuition is like back in the, you know, kind of in the back seat saying, oh, I guess they don't need me today. You know, I guess we're good, until you start saying yes to it. And gut instinct is usually the first thing that we can talk about with someone. You know, how do you feel it? Do you feel something in your gut? Do the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Do you get goosebumps? That's your intuition trying to speak to you.
You know, it's funny. Like I want to talk about gender and self-talk, but the term intuition is one that in North America, at least, I think we generally hear as more feminine. And gut, though, sounds good. Oh, gut, yeah. My gut, that's pretty masculine. But they feel like pretty much the same thing, gut and intuition.
The gut is the first signal you get for your intuition. So gut is faster, you know, gut is, and you're right, gut is more acceptable. We use that term on purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when that gut kicks in, you're like, oh, I'll listen to that. If I were to tell you, Bill, like, oh, go do an intuitive exercise and go sit on the, you know, on a lotus, you know, in lotus position on a cushion for 20 minutes a day and meditate, you probably would look at me and say, why? Why would I want to do that? Right? Yes. Like, it doesn't seem like that would be a good use of my time. But if I were to say to you, Bill, how many intuitive hits or gut hits do you get on a weekly basis? You could say, I don't know, 3 or 4. I mean, I'll, you know, just make it up. Right. And then you're like, ooh. And if we can go in that way and say, your gut instinct is trying to talk to you, and it's the first word in the sentence that is a paragraph or a book long. Would you want to open that more to create more certainty, to make better decisions, to, you know, have more collaborative relationships and be able to, especially for women, ask for support? A lot of women struggle with that. A lot of men are better at leveraging opportunities, but I'll be honest with you, a lot of men do it in a very focused and very competitive way, whereas women may not. But women may not show up, you know. So there's that wrangling that comes in too. Well, your intuition will know. Work with this person, not work with this person. Say this thing, not say this thing. Listen, speak. Your intuition wants to give you those signals, and it's sending you those signals if we can get our mind to accept that.
Yeah. So I personally, I feel like I have multiple moments of gut or intuition every single day. Mm-hmm. I have feelings and unformed thoughts that occur to me all day long about all kinds of things. Oh, I'm not comfortable with this yet. Oh, there's something bothering me here. Like, there's always a feeling like that. Very often we say gut, and you think about a feeling somewhere here, maybe in the belly or between the chest and the belly. Like, there's a location and a body sensation that we can locate if we stop for a minute. But then I don't usually stop there. I'm like, okay, what's that all about? What's going on? What are the signals? What are the things? And then so I try to take whatever the feeling is and find something that I can more describe in more concrete or find evidence for, that kind of thing. I try to build a more complex and aware, fully developed thought around it.
Which is amazing, right? So it requires you to create space. It requires you to say, oh, wait, I got a hit here. I wonder what that is. Is it a good hit? Is it a not good hit? You know, is it a go forward hit? Is it a take a step back hit? You won't know until you give it that moment of questioning, like, oh, I wonder. So that we always talk about moving your mind to wonder, like let your mind be questioning. Right? Yeah. Is this a hit of a yes or no? I will tell you that it's really more available for people that when they feel their gut instinct in their gut, a lot of people don't. And that's where you're like, you're saying gut instinct, the person will say, but I don't feel it in my gut. And that's where the question becomes, but where do you feel it? Because you feel it somewhere. And that's where someone might say, oh, I feel a different change in temperature, or I feel that, yeah, my hair, the back of my neck. That usually is in the negative though. So then we'll walk them through, but how do you feel a positive? Like what, how do you feel a yes?
Right.
Because knowing your yes and no is perfect. Can give you so much indication.
Let's distinguish this from self-talk, because I think self-talk could go a lot of different ways, but a very common one is way more negative. You can't do this. You don't belong here. Right. And that's very different from intuition, but this is not my field. So I'm curious what your thoughts are of how you separate a negative inner voice from intuition.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Your mind is the one that is giving you the negative self-talk, because the mind is here for us to process what it knows and to work with what it's familiar with. It cannot handle anything that's unknown. So it does not like the intuition at all, because the intuition is unknown to the mind. The intuition is about saying yes to things that are new and that are different. So think about it. If you are going scaling up, right? So if you're going to be going through growth, you're going to be going through change, there are going to be things that you're concerned about, anxious about, or things that are unfamiliar. Your mind is going to do everything it can, Bill, to hold you back and keep you safe. That's its job. Any negative self-talk is the mind. It is not your intuition. The intuition will come in like, ooh, don't do that. That's not for you. But it's not going to machinate. It's not going to go, oh, because this person's not a nice person, or because it's not the right time, or because you don't have any money. That's the mind. The intuition might say, ooh, it's just not your thing. The intuition isn't judging at all. Not even for a little bit. I will tell you, once you get out of your mind and into your intuition, that's where the growth comes. That's where you realize that you have opportunities that are good for you that the mind doesn't understand yet. That's okay. You can move the mind.
So as you speak, I notice another thing, and that is that there's also maybe a separation between just a feeling, a raw feeling, and an intuition. So like, I can be terrified of something, but I would say there's also an intuition that might be like, this is interesting, or this is going to be big for me, right?
Yeah.
So in
yeah.
the moment, the experience is fear, but also interest or excitement, right?
Right. Exactly. Because anxiety and excitement are two sides of the same coin. So, you know, I'm nervous, I'm excited. A lot of the people that stay in that nervousness or that fear haven't allowed themselves to say yes. If you're feeling fear and it's about something like, I'm going to be on Bill's podcast, right? And it's maybe my first podcast and Bill's awesome. And I know that a lot of people are going to hear it. So I'm a little bit nervous about it. I'm excited, but I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't let your mind take over and think about all the reasons why you can't do it. Oh, I don't have enough time. He's not going to want me on it. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how to introduce myself. Let all that go. Let that excitement have a space to say, oh, but what if? Like, you're asking what if? Like, what if I said yes? And what if I had a beautiful conversation with him? And what if some of his people got great information that I have to bestow? That would be amazing. And then see how you feel.
Yeah. So let's talk about one of your other clients. You shared a client in the PR business. Mm-hmm. What was that business like? How did that work go? Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So this client, successful in the PR world, but wanted to grow and scale her business. So she was in mid six figure range. And I will tell you, going from mid six figures to seven figures is as hard as going from seven to eight figures, because you haven't quite created all the things, the structure that you need in place. You don't have, you know, standard operating procedures. You may not have platforms. You may not have enough people, right? A lot of these things, I'm going to go back to the know, like, trust model, because that does, you know, it does lend itself here, is you can know what you want, and you could have a perception of your dream and your goals. And when you like yourself enough to be able to dance with, can you ask for support? Can you bring in opportunity? That's where leadership comes in. And when you can do that, you can say, oh, okay, I will put it out there that I'm looking for. In this case, it was a VP of operations. You know, the business was not going to be scalable without it. And yet, and then for her, it was about trust. It was like, can I trust a person? Can I have this beautiful business? Can I then, you know, put this, you know, my business, my baby, in the hands of somebody that's going to be very high level and my right hand? And a lot of people resonate with this. Can I make sure that they know what to do? Oh, I can do it better myself, the mind says. Like, oh, it'll be too expensive. Oh, I don't really need that person. And yet when you demonstrate what the enterprise can look like and you start rolling people in, and we did do some healing around trust for her. Yeah, she brought that person in, and now she's cooking with gas. Like, it's awesome. You know, she's just hitting those consistent six-figure months, and she has the bandwidth to be able to do it. She's an amazing connector. She's a PR person. She knows everybody. She brings in unbelievable opportunities. She doesn't have time to do back office stuff. She can't be overseeing that kind of thing. She needs to make sure her pitching team is working, you know, to the utmost. And there are many different people working with many different clients. She needs somebody overseeing that.
Yeah. You know, this very much relates to the work we do, except it's not the work we do. Okay. And I love that. And I want to emphasize that for this. It's valuable. It's useful to do. So, we work on, and in fact, we have lots and lots of companies in our global accelerator program that we do through in partnership with the EO organization. So we have a whole version of our curriculum that's for companies under a million trying to get to their first million in sales, right? They're exactly the kind of person you're talking about here. Yeah. They're maybe 500,000, 600,000 in sales, and they want to get up to the first million and then keep growing from there. And so we work on getting the team right? Hiring that person, figuring out what the roles are, getting working together well, that kind of thing, organized right. We work on the strategy. We work on getting the execution dialed in with the right metrics and scoreboards and the right meeting cadence and all of that, so that the team is working better on their own. They're not working so hard that, and we get the cash model right, all of that kind of stuff, right? But that's not you. That's not the person in the mirror. That's not, and even in our leadership work, we're working on the specific skills around leadership and that kind of thing. But there's a great deal of need to sort of level up yourself, right?
Yes.
Allow the intuition to rise, face the fear, deal with yourself and the reasons you don't avoid it, the personal barriers, that kind of thing. That working on that person in the mirror, I think, is a critical piece that you're speaking to. And from a place of developing and leveraging the intuition.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll tell you, I had a business strategy firm that was wildly successful, and yet I wasn't satisfied. I walked away from it because we weren't dealing with the personal piece. We weren't dealing with the quote unquote woo. You know, I was doing it with clients, but it was secret, you know, like not to them, but, you know, to the world. And then I decided this is way too impactful. This is way too important to not lead with it. But I had to go through my own self-reflection. I had to stand up and say, you know, I am an intuitive business strategist, right? Walk into a room, Bill, and say, you walk into the stars the minute you're born, and watch everybody's like eyes start hooding up and they think that you're a little bit crazy, right? Walk into the room and say, oh, I help businesses, you know, go from six to seven or seven to eight figures. And everybody goes, ooh, I want to get to know you. I had to do a lot of internal work to make sure that I could come out and do this and be wearing it so much that I could have conversations with you and I could have conversations with everybody else and not want to diminish the importance of the intuition. And we needed it to be front facing.
Well, I think for our listeners, viewers, it's useful, I think, to point out when a woman walks to the front of the room, gets in a podcast, whatever, and says, we're going to talk about intuitive business things. There's a lot of guys that are just like, yeah, this ain't for me. I'm going to tune out. Yeah. But I think it's useful for all of us to stop and go, wait, there's something useful here for me. And if you're really quick to want to dismiss it, right, you might want to actually lean into that.
Absolutely.
Right. And say, okay, why is it that I don't want to go there? What did I make up about that before I even realized I'd made up something, right? Where did I dismiss some shit like that? Because my dad did, or because it seemed like whatever, I didn't understand it, or that kind of thing. There's something valuable here. And as you spoke through all these things, and I think you said it a couple times, it's fleeting, right? We have an insight. We have a thought. For me, it feels like there's two kinds of primary intuition that I feel like are really common for me after just the basic feeling like, oh, there's something here. Is one of them is like an insight. I see something from a new angle or a new perspective. Something's revealed, right? It's and it's fairly like, oh my God, there's that. Like it goes from nothing to visible in a blank. And then the other one is a remix, and it's like that goes with that. Oh, I didn't see that those two things go together. Right. You know, the old, Reese's commercials where they're like, oh, you got peanut butter in my chocolate. You got chocolate in my peanut butter. Suddenly there's a notion of like, oh, those two things work together. And that, like neither of them is new. And yet the combination is fresh and new. You know, there's probably a range of different styles of intuition, but those for me feel like the two kinds of things like, oh, I avoid that person. I didn't even realize I avoid that person. And I think I avoid them because they remind me of that person.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I avoid that person.
The best thing you can do is question why you're thinking that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why did you get that hit? Or why did you get that, you know, the inkling? Or why did you get that flash? If you just take that special, like precious 10 seconds even and say, ooh, is there something here? Just asking why. That will be so informative for you, for anybody.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to notice, where does it show up for you? Where do you feel it? How does it arise? And then if I don't do anything with that, like it's gone, right? Yeah. I could have a thought like, oh, that person's really missing from my life and I've been avoiding them for a long time. And that's a moment, you know, of intuition that arises out of some stimulus that's just there. And then if I go back to whatever I'm doing, brush my teeth or something like that, right? Then pretty soon it's like gone. I've forgotten it entirely, right?
Right, right. Well, so we say a lot of epiphanies happen in the shower, right? Why? Because your mind has something to do. You're washing your hair, you know, you're kind of like thinking about the day.
There are these moments where you're busy, where you're whatever, allowing the shower is a big one.
Exactly. Right. And so you'll think about that person, Bill, or you'll get that insight. And what you want to do is just say, okay, I want to remember that. Even just that. Right. And then you start on your day and you brush your teeth and then you give yourself the moment to say, what is it that I wanted to remember? And then you can create the space to ask why and what's the information is here. Even just asking why and what information will give you so much insight.
Do you know about Aquanotes?
Oh, I don't know about Aquanotes, but I know where you're going with this. Yes.
So this is one of my favorite little things. People love this. Aquanotes. I think you just go on Amazon or somewhere and you buy this. It's a waterproof notepad and pencil for the shower.
I'm going to write this down. This is gold. Thank you.
Aquanotes is cool. It's a great little gift for your folks, right? I think there's some other places, and our listeners might have other, you know, if you exercise, often people say in the middle of their exercise, they'll have a thought about it. Another one is while commuting, right? Whether it's in your car, on the train, or bicycle, or whatever. You'll have thoughts as you're going through something that's occupying you physically, but got left letting your mind wander, or you could even be like listening to a podcast.
Yes.
While you commute, exercise, etc.
Right.
There's an idea that arises and you might want to capture that.
Absolutely. It's literally you're giving your mind a job. That's what we call it. And it could be, exercising, walking the dog, you know, laughing with your children. It's when you give yourself that breath, that space. And all of a sudden this little fleeting thing comes in. And if you don't notice it, you don't notice it. But if you do notice it, it's gold.
Yeah.
It's usually gold.
Yeah. Really brilliant. Well, so much good stuff there to think about. I want to tell our listeners, if you want to know more about Kim, get in touch with her, do work with her, like that kind of thing, you're going to find Kim at kimwoods.com. Kimwoods.com. And we'll put it there, right, in the crawl below. We'll put it in the show notes, all that, so you can get in touch with Kim. Not a hard URL to find.
I know, right? Like, yay.
Boom, kimwoods.com. And you are not going to have trouble spelling it either. If you want to get in touch with us, you're going to go to scalingcoach.com. Also pretty easy to remember. And this show, all the others are there, plus a free copy of our book, plus show notes and downloads. You can subscribe there. You can find out about our workshops. If you want to find a coach in your area, you want to find a coach in Boston, I know a couple in the Boston area that would be great. In addition to Kim's work in intuitive strategy. So get in touch with us at scalingcoach.com. If you want to give us some feedback, info@scalingcoach.com is a great email to drop on us that we monitor. I want to give big thanks to Lucy Summers working in the background, producing. Thank you, Lucy. And also to Vern Harnish, author and creator of the Scaling Up Framework that we use, and my mentor, Vern Harnish. And also to the folks at Podfly Productions who get our show out every week. So audio by Albert Burge, Ayn Codina, Anna Codina working on the show notes, and Tim McGowan getting everything proofread and listed the team at Podfly Productions every week. I thank everyone for listening, for watching. We'll talk to you again next time. Keep scaling up. Bye-bye now.